Before this episode begins, I want to personally invite you to become a socio. It means member, shareholder. It means you join us and support us. Every month, we produce one exclusive big interview and a documentary special, all for our socios. Sign up now at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. That's patreon.com/Graham Hunter. And you'll not only get this month's shows, but also unlock our entire beautiful archive. Go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter to become one of our growing and much loved army of socios.
Graham, let's reflect on Spurs Juve on Wednesday night. The first leg was an incredible 90 minutes in so many ways. I think you had Spurs' dominance and possession. It was amazing to see a British team enjoying that level of possession and domination against an excellent, but maybe not exceptional, Italian team. But it was an interesting flow to the game as well because, I mean, let's not forget that Higuain hit the bar with a penalty, which would have made it 3-1 just before half-time. For all Spurs' fantastic second-half performance, I don't know, I've just got a sneaking suspicion that there's still a little bit of life left in this tie. What do you think?
I think undoubtedly. I mean, Higuain is a player who you despair of because his battling qualities, he's a very British player. He, in his time, he's done things for his nation and for his clubs that you would want to buy into. His goal total is extraordinary. I often write about the fact that on leaving Real Madrid, it was 99.9% done to Arsenal. Club to club, player to club, wages, and Arsene Wenger chickened out of it. Literally saying to the people around him, I'm about to sign this guy. Mourinho's over here again. He used to have him. He's not bidding for him. Manchester United aren't bidding for him. We must have the wrong guy. Higuain goes to Napoli and rattles in a century of goals and gets transferred for nearly a world record fee. You know, the amount that Napoli paid for him from Real Madrid was not quite, but nearly doubled when Juventus then bought him. Yet, and at 2-0, when Higuain has looked pretty rampant and Spurs have looked docile and dormant, you point out the penalty, which, to be honest, again, no Monday morning quarterbacking. I didn't trust him to score simply because he's got this strange wiring that says that in really crucial, really elite moments, sometimes he may come through, but normally you wouldn't trust him. He wouldn't be your go-to player. If the pressure is off, if the focus is off, even against a big side, it's not like he can't do anything in big moments. But there are big moments when something goes wrong in his psyche. But prior to that penalty where the tie can be killed, he has, I'm pretty sure, a left foot shot with just a free shot on goal in the box. And in training, he probably doesn't simply put that away 99 times out of 100. There's a right good chance that it's top left corner, top right corner, that the keeper barely sees it. This guy has got a cannon in both feet. And he skews it wide, and so horribly wide, that at that moment, you know, I was absolutely convinced that there would be a debilitating effect on Maxi Allegri's team and that there would be severe possibilities for that normal Tottenham performance, because they are really well-drilled, really well-coached. They really believe in each other. There's a cohesion and a unity in their attitude, their spirit, how they play, and teams like that tend to prosper because they're reasonably well invested in terms of talent, and they've got a very good coach and a smart coach. And we've earlier talked about, or your eye was drawn by the body language of Ronaldo and Neymar. Well, mine in the Turin Stadium was to Pochettino. Pochettino, who at 2-0 down on Spurs' biggest test in the Champions League history, far bigger than group games against Real Madrid or the knockout game against Real Madrid where Crouchy got sent off. For listeners, go back and listen to the Crouchy podcast. It's a gem. This was the biggest thing they'd ever done. They're 2-0 down. It reminded me of having been in the Dele Alpi, a different stadium, to watch Manchester United being 2-0 down in the semi-final of 99 Champions League, having drawn 1-1 at home, a really desperate situation, and coming back and winning. And Pochettino, Martin, just, I mean, shaken, not stirred. If you'd put a sort of white dinner jacket and a black bow tie on him, he'd have rolled the dice and it would have come up whatever the perfect Baccarat score is. Wasn't affected, wasn't worried, fully knew that a two-goal deficit was something that his team was able to at least take a chunk out of. By the end of the match, Spurs could have gone on to win it. There's been it's funny the debates that come out of it, because I'm not saying the British media, but off the back of that night, Dembele was heralded as having performed absolutely brilliantly. Kane stood out. Dele Alli stood out. There were defensive performances that, you know, would give you 3 or 4 stars out of 5. But Dembele was the one who mixed power and technique and passing and positional sense. And he was the pivot upon which Spurs' performance turned. Since when Pochettino has... And everybody was like, wow, what a fantastic player. He's so powerful. He's so great. Why don't we pay him more attention? And Pochettino has then compared him to, I don't know who all, Ronaldinho and Maradona and whatever. And suddenly there's this deluge of, well, oh shit, the manager's speaking to him. Well, he's not that good. And, you know, I've seen clips of him miscontrolling things as, well, you know, no other top-level footballer has ever miscontrolled the ball. And it's hilarious that the tall poppy syndrome has sort of been in full force and swung from one end of the poppy syndrome to the other in about just over 2 weeks. I interviewed Poch at the, I think, the beginning of their last campaign at Wembley, and I said, listen, what is it about Wembley, man? And I said, you go and win away from home regularly, domestically and in Europe. So when you've moved your home to something that is away from home, i.e. not White Hart Lane, what's the big deal? Why can't you just play Wembley as if it was an away match? Because you win that. He said, look, if you sleep in your own bed every night, and then you go and you're in a journey, work or pleasure, you've got a 5-star hotel, everything is perfect, you've paid through the nose for it, it's a really beautiful hotel room, but something's just not quite right, and the covers or the pillows or the size of the bed or the air conditioner, and you can't sleep, and you don't know why. He said, it's like that. And that largely has gone away now, because Wembley has become a place where, and if I could pick two performances, which maybe they're the same two you'd pick, the recent Manchester United performance against Manchester United, where they win 2-0, I think, the quality of assurance and passing and any factor about Wembley, completely irrelevant there. The win against Real Madrid, having drawn at the Bernabeu and come back and their players, particularly Dele Alli, saying, well, you know, we were overly respectful of Real Madrid in Spain. We looked at their spaces, the space between their lines, how easy it was to press them and pick the ball. So we just trampled all of them. We went for it. And it was a BT interview with Des Kelly. And it was really interesting. And it made huge headlines here in Spain, where the not biased, yeah, maybe biased, but the sort of Madrid-loving tabloids were like, whoa, let's have Spurs in a knockout round and really stick them words right back down their throats. I say all this because what they're doing now is they don't simply need to see through their away goals advantage. They need to take a big knockout tie at Wembley and win it. And I think that's part of the task. The nerves, the lack of accumulated history at Wembley, or at least in this context, New Wembley, it's our home, this is the Champions League. So it's the tie's certainly not dead. Maxi Allegri's a clever coach. There's been something, I think, missing at Juventus since Cardiff, since the bus stop at halftime, which effectively lost Juve their best chance, because they weren't really in the 2015 final against Barcelona. This was a right good chance once Mandzukic equalised to win the Champions League. They had a huge bust up at halftime. Two of the key players that were involved in that have now gone. The formation has changed at the back. I think Buffon has stayed on an inch or two past his, not past his sell-by date, but as great as his moments can still be, as much of a leader as he still is, as much affection as he commands, you're now not daunted as a striker or somebody who's willing to shoot or a finisher in the box. You're not, you don't have Buffon in the back of your mind anymore. He may save, he may not, but he's not like, the whole is not greater than the sum of the parts anymore. And I don't believe that the starting 11 is as strong as it was in Cardiff in the final last season. You can see that Napoli are making hay and may win their first title since Maradona was there, which I think would only be their third title ever if they do hold Juve off. Juve have made the Coppa final. They must play Lazio away in Rome this weekend, which is a tough task, and they cannot afford to go half gas on it because of the challenge Napoli are mounting domestically. So it's a really interesting 4 or 5 days for Juve as well, Martin. I'm absolutely clear on that. Just as Eriksen was fabulous in Turin, Dybala makes a different Juve if he's on form, if he's fit. That's what Dybala we see. And I really hope we do see the best 11 of each side. What Dybala we see on Wednesday night is a really big question, because he is an exceptional footballer and one that you don't see a lot of in the Premier League. So a test for Spurs. All in all, you know, it's another don't miss game. Really, really unmissable stuff. And my both my mind and my heart says Spurs. I'd like them to be showing us new things in the Champions League. I'd like to see Pochettino and several of his players, particularly Wanyama, who's had such I think he adds order and solidity and defensive intelligence to their midfield. I'd like to see several of their players tested at the quarterfinal or semi-final level of the Champions League. And much though there was a time when, you know, Juve made the hair on the back of my neck stand up, and they as a club, speaking about Lippi particularly and Viale, they changed my career. Utterly changed my career in, you know, 94, 95 and 96. And the welcome they gave me, the opening up their training sessions, their gym, their attitudes, if not their secrets, certainly their dossiers. It's a club which changed my life. But in this occasion, again, I'll be perfectly happy if we see Spurs moving on to the quarters. To hear the full Kevin Caban interview and get all of our content ad-free, it's time for you to join us, to become what we call a socio. This month, March, socios will also get my Barca-Chelsea mini-documentary, and when you sign up now, you'll also unlock our archive of 7 socio-only big interviews dating back to Raphael van der Vaart last August. For just £2.99 per month, you'll also know you're supporting this independent football podcast. More at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. That's patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Thank you to all our socios. We do need your help in order to keep doing this. And bloody hell, it's fun.